Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Save big money at Menards. Never get locked out from lost keys again. Menards carries a huge selection of electronic lock sets. Get a TrueBolt touchscreen deadbolt that features one-touch locking and 50 programmable user codes. Available in matte black or satin nickel finishes on sale now through September 8th at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and menards.com for deals.
Save big money at Menards. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Thursday, May 30th, 2024. On today's episode of the show, I'm going to talk a little bit about the new Disney movie Young Woman and the Sea and present an interview with producer Jerry Bruckheimer. My name is Ben Pearson. I am an editor at slashfilm.com, and today it's just me. I'm joined by nobody to talk a little bit about this film. So there have been very few mainstream American movies released in theaters this year that I would consider to be truly family-friendly, in that you could conceivably gather kids, teenagers, parents, and grandparents together, have them watch this movie, and pretty much everybody would be entertained. That crowd-pleasing quality has been a staple of Jerry Bruckheimer's career, and Young Woman in the Sea is a throwback to the type of inspirational sports dramas that used to be far more commonplace. Daisy Ridley stars in this movie. She plays Trudy Ederle, who is the title character, who becomes an award-winning swimmer and decides to do something no woman and only five men had ever done before, which is swim the English Channel from France to England. She's really great in this movie. Her performance is incredibly physical. She said in another interview that it was the toughest thing on her body that she had done to that point in her career, and I believe that 100%. She spends so much time in this movie in the water. And while her character does a great job of hardly ever seeming exhausted, just thinking about the production and all of the takes that Ridley must have had to do just makes me very, very tired. This movie hits all of the predictable beats that you would expect, and while it doesn't necessarily reinvent the wheel, it's undeniably effective at conjuring the emotions that it wants you to feel. Joachim Rønning, who is the director, burst onto the scene with Kon-Tiki, another nautical period drama that he co-directed with Espen Sandberg, and the two of them previously worked with Bruckheimer when they directed Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, which is the fifth movie in that franchise. Probably the less said about that film, the better, but I interviewed the directors at the time for Slash Film, so feel free to go back into the archives and check that out if you're interested in their experience making that movie. There's also a fascinating wrinkle here. We first wrote about Young Woman in the Sea in December of 2020, but since then Netflix came along and released Naiad, which is another movie about a female swimmer trying to overcome personal and societal obstacles by performing an open ocean swim between two countries. Very specific. Whether or not enough people actually saw Naiad to have any real impact on this movie's box office prospects or cultural footprint or whatever seems dubious, but it's just fascinating that this is yet another case of Hollywood releasing two similar projects within a few months of each other. I asked Bruckheimer about that, and he gave me a pretty generic answer. As you'll hear throughout this conversation, I try to dig into a bunch of different corners of his career, hoping to strike a chord with him, and you'll hear how that goes. Last thing before we get into it, for some reason, when the studio sends over the audio from these interviews, it normally sounds great, but inexplicably this time, my end of the conversation sounds pretty bad. Like my microphone wasn't even turned on, even though it was. I'm not really sure what happened there. You'll be able to hear Jerry loud and clear, but I wanted to apologize for the quality on my side of the interview. So with all of that said, here is my conversation with Jerry Bruckheimer. Hey, Mr. Bruckheimer, how are you?
Great, Ben. How are you doing today?
I'm doing so well. First of all, I just wanted to say thank you for your work, because you've made a lot of things that have meant a lot to me over the years. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
So I'm wondering what your biggest producing challenge was on Young Woman in the Sea.
Getting it made. That was the biggest challenge. We optioned the book 9 years ago, and we're just bringing it to the theaters in a few days. So it was a long journey, but it was certainly worth it.
So what took so long for it to actually get made?
I think the conventional wisdom is sports films don't make a lot of money. And, you know, we proved them wrong with Remember the Titans, and hopefully we're proving them wrong with this one. It was destined for streaming, but it turned out so well, and it's the highest testing movie I've ever had. So it kind of encouraged Disney that, hey, wait a second, I think we have something good here. They love the movie, and so that it just encouraged them even more to put it in theaters. It's a movie you want to see in a big theater, in a theater and on a big screen with phenomenal sound. So that's what we try to give you.
That's great. So you've been developing this for a long time. I'm wondering if your heart sinks a little bit when you've been working on something for as long as you have for this one, and you realize that a similar movie will be coming out around the same time. Like, you've been through this before with Armageddon and Deep Impact, but it just happened again with Naiad and Young Woman in the Sea.
Look, we just try to make as good a movie as we can and let the cards fall where they fall. I think we, based on the fact that it tested so well, I think we have something. We just got to get people into the theaters. Once we get them in there, they're going to be really entertained.
Yeah. It seems like Daisy Ridley did a ton of actual swimming in this movie. So I'm wondering, as a producer, what steps, if any, did you take to make sure that she would be able to make it through this production without physically burning out?
Well, I think that's really something that she was very cognizant of. She's a really smart actor. And what she did is she trained with an Olympian for almost 3 months. In the water, she became a very proficient swimmer, and I think that's part of it, the part that she's got the endurance, she's strong, she's big, she's got broad shoulders, she moves well, she's somebody that you saw in Star Wars, she had a lot of physicality, and that's part of what this character needed. That's why she wanted to play this character. So it's her perseverance and training, and the fact that she could withstand the freezing Black Sea that she was in for 8-10 hours a day. It's really extraordinary what she pulled off.
Yeah, that's wild. I would like to go back to the early days of your career for a minute, if you would indulge me. I was wondering if you had any Robert Mitchum stories from working on Farewell, My Lovely.
Yeah, he was a real character. I mean, he was another great storyteller, and he was somebody. He was so much fun, and had such a great sense of humor. He had this dour sense of humor. So it was always interesting when you sit down and talk to him. And anyway, I don't want to tell any tales out of school, but he was a character.
I was looking back over your filmography to prepare for this, and I totally forgot that you produced Michael Mann's Thief, which is an incredible movie, and I was wondering what you remembered about that production.
Well, what it was is that I read a script that Michael wrote, and I said, this guy is a real visionary. He's really a director, the way he describes things, sees things. And then I met with him, and I said, whoa, this is going to be a real force in our industry. He's got a real point of view. He's a strong writer. He's got very high intellect. And it turned out to be a phenomenal filmmaker. He's a real visualist, but he's a great storyteller. And he's had an amazing career. And I'm glad I was one of the ones that had the first opportunity to bring him to people.
Do you remember any conversations about the score for that movie? That Tangerine Dream score is, like, unbelievable. I was wondering if you, as a producer, were, you know, in conversations about what we should do for the score for that film.
That was all Michael. Michael said, I want to do it. We had David Gilmour that we spoke to and made a deal with, and Michael, I think, flew to London to work with him, and he delivered a great score.
Yeah. So your partnership with Don Simpson was, I mean, completely legendary, and I was wondering, how were the Simpson-Bruckheimer productions of the 80s and 90s different from solo Bruckheimer productions?
Well, I think I carry a lot of Don with me, hopefully the good parts. And he was a real genius. He was a great storyteller and a real force in our industry. He ran a studio. He helped create all these terrific movies we made together. And, you know, he was a real loss, unfortunately. He was a good friend and a great partner.
Mm-hmm. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Save big money at Menards. Never get locked out from lost keys again. Menards carries a huge selection of electronic lock sets. Get a TrueBolt touchscreen deadbolt that features one-touch locking and 50 programmable user codes. Available in matte black or satin nickel finishes on sale now through September 8th at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and menards.com for deals. Save big money at Menards.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Saving money on everything now at Menards. Create fresher, cleaner air with DampRid products. Control the humidity in your space with a hanging bag moisture absorber. They're great for closets and laundry rooms. Grab a 3-pack on sale through September 8th. Save big on DampRid moisture absorbers at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and menards.com for deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Save big money at Menards. We're your destination for concrete landscaping blocks. We have the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Get free estimates fast using our easy do-it-yourself landscape design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on landscape products at Menards, America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and Menards.com for deals.
Save big money at Menards.
You've collaborated with some of the biggest directors working today, and a lot of these folks that you've worked with have very strong personalities. That's kind of part and parcel with being a big director. What is the biggest argument that you remember having with a director about a scene or a vision for a particular movie? Is there something
I file them away and forget about them. That's what it is. Every movie you have disagreements over something or another, or you feel you can make something better. And look at the really good directors. Really good ones. They take ideas from anybody. Really, a messenger can walk in and say, "You know that guy Lee, his hair looks funny," and the director says, "Thank you," and fixes his hair. I mean, it's unbelievable when you get the real ones that aren't quite secure enough. They're frightened and they won't take direction from anybody. So you gotta when I work with talent, I gotta make sure I get the best, and they're really good at what they do and are collaborative, and all they care about is making a great movie for an audience. It's not, I don't make a movie for me, I make a movie for them. I make movies I want to go see, but I really make it for them.
Yeah, 100%. I was wondering what you do these days to foster relationships with new directors that you've never worked with before. Is there like a process that you have of sort of seeking out, you know, some of the best up-and-coming names, or what's your approach these days?
It's basically looking at their work, no matter what it is, if it's commercial, if it's a short, if it's anything that I can look at and see if they're good storytellers, if they're good visual artists. I always believe it's cinema, not radio. So you want to have somebody who has a real strong visual style. And if you look at the directors we've shepherded along the way, they all have really strong visual styles. Or they bring something else to the party that's unique. And that's another way to look at it.
The visual style thing is interesting because I feel like there's a visual style to what I imagine the sort of a prototypical Jerry Bruckheimer movie. There's a clear aesthetic there that you've brought as well to a lot of your films across the years. So I'm wondering how you were able to, I guess, pull that off given the individual visual styles that many of these directors have worked with over the years.
Well, it's basically finding the directors that we feel have a real strong visual sense, and we do that. You look at a Dylan Bilal. We have Bad Boys coming out shortly, and when you look at their style and what they do and how they move the camera and how they do things, I mean, we saw that in a movie they made called Black, which is a very dark movie they made, and that's got them the job for the last Bad Boys. So you see they're really strong storytellers with the camera. They tell stories without saying a word just by their visuals, and how they can take one shot and bring it into the next scene that continues the story. That's very important to us, but you want them to be unique. And you find filmmakers that are unique in their style, And Yoakam has a unique style. They have a unique style. Ridley Scott has a unique style. Tony had one. Michael Bay has one. So, but they're all different. And we look for that really, I mean, I guess, I don't know how you, artistry of what they do.
Do you ever remember an instance of walking up to a director and being like, hey, you know, I really think the lighting should look this way in the scene to give it that sort of Bruckheimer juice that we're looking for?
Never. No, I let them do their thing. We try to help make sure they're prepared. Let them shoot, make sure they're ready for the next day. That's it. And, you know, the movie's usually with good directors, it's usually made in their head before they even start. They know what they're doing. They either have storyboards, or they do some kind of visual way of showing what they want to do. Previs is what they'll do.
I would love to know your read all these years later on the Lone Ranger situation. That movie seemingly had everything in place to be great and ended up sort of not performing up to expectations. And I was just wondering, from your sort of perspective and your estimation, where did that one go off track?
I think what happened is there was more discussions about the budget than the movie long before the movie came out. So that became the story rather than the movie itself. But it's a terrific film. He's a groundbreaking director and an amazing guy to work with. He's a real artist, and you know, I love to work with him again.
Yeah, The Rock is one of my favorite films of yours. Do you have a favorite memory from working on that one? Any like Sean Connery stories or anything like that?
I remember one. This is one story that I remember is that we needed a little more money to finish the movie, and the studio was coming down to tell us that we're not going to get any more money to finish the movie. And Michael goes to Sean and says, look, they're coming down. The studio's coming down to shut me down on some of the stuff I want to do. And Sean says, all right, let's have lunch with him. So the poor executive's coming down, and here he's sitting with Michael Bay, myself, and Sean Connery. And it's a young executive. The first thing Sean says, I hope you're coming down here to make sure you're giving him more money to make this film. He's making a brilliant film. That's why you're here, right? And the guy just turns white, and the conversation was over. He never brought it up.
That's amazing. That's star power right
there,
right?
Exactly. Michael is very clever.
So you produced the first two Beverly Hills Cop movies, which are amazing, and you did not return to produce the third one. I've always been curious about that. You did actually come back to produce the fourth movie, which is coming out on Netflix later this summer. I'm not going to ask you to comment on the quality of the third film.
I never saw it,
really?
So I can't comment.
I've just always been curious what that situation looked like to you. Why didn't you come back to it then, and what made you want to return to it again afterward?
We couldn't make a deal with them. That's what happened. They got very impatient. They wouldn't make a deal that we felt we deserved, and they said, fine, we'll make it without you, and we said, good luck.
Wow, simple as that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about working with Ridley Scott on Black Hawk Down. I mean, that's a movie that launched so many careers, or sort of, you know, you can look back and see so many young up-and-coming people who've grown to become, you know, these gigantic stars. What do you remember about working with Ridley on that one?
He's like a professor. He's unbelievable. He's so smart. He draws everything. He does these little sketches. He went to art school, and he storyboards these things out, and he's very patient, but he's got a real vision. And he's got a wonderful process where he includes people and is collaborative and just comes in the morning, sets up like four cameras and just starts shooting. And he has this calmness about him and the way he directs, and has a smile on his face, and he's just wonderful to be around. I'm still friends with him and look forward to having dinner with him all the time when we're both in the same city.
That's great. So you mentioned Remember the Titans early in our conversation, and I was thinking about that as I was watching Young Woman in the Sea, just the sports inspirational throwback type of vibe. This movie almost feels like that one in a way. I was wondering if you remembered, if there's any lessons that you learned on Remember the Titans that you were able to apply to Young Woman in the Sea.
Just make it emotional. You have to tell an emotional story. You have to dig into the characters and follow their path. And you just got to hire great screenwriters, and Jeff Nathans is a great screenwriter, and he just delivered the book to us. The reason he got the book is he was looking for something for his daughters to watch, and he couldn't find anything, so he went to a used bookstore and started rummaging around, found this book, Young Woman in the Sea, brought it to us. I think he initially optioned it himself and then brought it to us. That was 9 years ago, and we said, we're going to get this made. I promise we'll get it made, and We went through two studios, finally Sam Dickerman at Disney and Sean Bailey at the time were really passionate about it and wanted to get it made. And the only way they could get it made is for streaming. So we got it made through streaming, but all the streaming people, when they saw it, said, boy, this is really good. It's the highest testing movie I've ever made. So they decided we should put it in theaters. They think it's a terrific, and they were right. You know, the scores prove that their instincts were right. And also we had a screening last night, and even the Hollywood people liked it, which usually I don't like anything. They're skeptical and jealous and all those things that we deal with in our industry. And they were crying and laughing and applauding. And David O. Russell came up to me and he says, I want to talk to the Disney executive. I said, why, David? He said, this has to be in theaters. It's got to be in there for longer than 2 weeks. This is such a good movie. He said, I was watching. I thought it was just going to be a drama. And then I just got so involved. He said, and he yelled at the end of the movie, bravo. I mean, he was just overwhelmed by it. So it's great when you get there. We had J.J. Abrams there, really loved it, and Edgar Wright. I mean, it's just, we're getting a lot of accolades from really good filmmakers.
Excellent. Well, congratulations on the movie, and thank you so much for the time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me. Appreciate it. Take care.
So as you heard, I cast a very wide net there in the hopes of trying to get him to open up a little bit, but he didn't ever really engage with me on the level that I hoped. For a guy who's been in the industry as long as Bruckheimer has, I know he has more stories than what he was willing to share with me. But then again, maybe his career longevity is partially because he's not willing to tell the kinds of stories that I wanted to hear. Anyway, it was still nice to chat with a legend, and I really do think that if you're looking for something family-friendly to take your family to right now in theaters, Young Woman in the Sea is a really good option. So that's going to do it for today's episode of the show. You can find more about Young Woman in the Sea at slashfilm.com. I will link to a couple things in the show notes as well. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing you the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really does help us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you all tomorrow.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Saving money on everything now at Menards. Create fresher, cleaner air with damp-rid products. Control the humidity in your space with a hanging bag moisture absorber. They're great for closets and laundry rooms. Grab a 3-pack on sale through September 8th. Save big on damp-rid moisture absorbers at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and menards.com for deals.